Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Trinity's podcast. My name is Marty Reardon, and I'm sitting here with Chris McDaniel. And today we want to talk to you about the season of Advent. Following the church calendar and the church year enables us to work out time and mark time with intentionality. And so we want to spend a few minutes addressing how we can do that here during the season of Advent. So, Chris, what is Advent?
Advent is a season of waiting and preparation that leads us up to Christmas time. I myself didn't grow up in a church home where Advent was observed, and so this was new to me a number of years ago when we came into the Anglican Church, and so I had to do some digging and reading myself to figure it out. And at its core, the word itself means coming. It means something's coming. It means we're getting ready. And so what Christians have done, really going back to the 6th century, Pope Gregory the Great instituted a preparation time before Christmas of 4 special masses that would happen on the Sundays leading up to Christmas so that Christians would prepare and be prepared for the feast of Jesus' birth. So Advent really goes back all the way into that 6th century experience where Christians have been carving out time basically so that Christmas wouldn't sneak up on them.
Yeah, it tends to do that.
It is weird how that works, isn't it? You know, Christmas is December 25th, last time I checked, same time every year, and yet for some strange reason, it tends to sneak up on us. You know, I think some of that for us as adults is we want to feel something sentimental that we feel like we've lost, and then you get busy, you start spending money, you have travel, work obligations, all that stuff, and then we wake up on Christmas morning thinking, gosh, this just isn't what we want it to be. I think actually Advent has something to say to that. Put a flag in the ground between 22 and 28 days, depending on where the season of Advent begins. We have this period of time to simply say, I'm going to get ready. Christmas isn't going to sneak up on me this year.
Yeah, that's the gift, I think, the beauty of the church calendar is that it invites us into an opportunity of intentionally looking forward to a day or a specific date that otherwise would just pop up on the calendar. And then once it's gone, we kind of missed it and we have to wait another year to get to it. So,
yeah, this season of marking time, what you just said, has got me to thinking about some of the symbols of Advent. I was recently reading Bobby Gross's book, Living the Christian Year, which is, I must say, a fantastic resource for Christians of all kinds to understand the liturgical year, seasons like Advent and Lent and Christmas and Easter. And he just said, you know, going back even to those early days, the Christmas tree, which we probably, almost all of us have a Christmas tree in our home, that even reminded early Christians of the fact that in the dead of winter, in the deadest time, there are these evergreen, these beautiful things that live in the dead. And I think, so we put a tree up in our home, and that's an invitation for me and for you, for us to look symbolically at this evergreen in our home and say, life lives on even in the dead of winter.
So good.
So even the symbols, the simple symbols in our home, just like we will do at Trinity, we'll light candles. We'll mark time, as you suggested. And for us, that's just simply 4 little candles and 1 big one in the middle. And for each week, week 1 through 4 during the Advent season, we'll light a candle at our dinner table. And it's just a simple way of marking time. It's a simple way of turning our attention to preparation. And I think that helps us redeem the time. It's kind of plays into this whole don't let Christmas sneak up on you thing.
Yeah.
So what we'll do at church, in my own home, we'll do that in our home. So it's kind of aligning the symbols of Advent to keep us focused.
Well, and particularly focused, like at church, we're changing over to purple, that dark purple that you see during Lent, to remind us of that kind of dark period of time between the Old Testament, the New Testament, the prophets were silent. Where is God in this? There's a sense of darkness, a sense of kind of wandering.
Yeah, and we can go nerdy on this. You know, there have been times in church history where the candles were black.
Right.
Because I think the Orthodox say that Advent is a season of bright sadness, which I think is so cool. And even the purple, you know, it speaks of repentance, and it also speaks of royalty. Mm. So there's this darkness of facing our own mortality. I mean, we're going to hear a lot. John the Baptist features heavily into this season. The prophets here at Trinity over the next month, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah. These actual hearkening back, Lord, we remember your intervention. Mm. Come again, rend the heavens and come down. I mean, these are powerful reminders that it's in a season of darkness that the prophet Isaiah wrote, Lord, tear the heavens and come down. Basically, come and do again what you've done in the past. Mm. Renew your fame. And so for us as Christians, I think when we light those dark candles, with the one exception of the rose candle week three, that rose candle is a reminder that even in all the darkness, there's this joy, this momentary joy where the clouds kind of break and we see with clarity exactly who it is we're dealing with. And I love it. I think that Advent reminds us that Christmas isn't just sentimental, that Jesus, when he came into the world, his first Advent, the first coming, he came during a time of remarkable darkness. And we know also that Advent is a time where we look forward and anticipate the second coming, the second Advent. And frankly, as we look around us today and see how dark the world is, it's inevitable that when Jesus returns for us, his bride, he will also return during a time of remarkable darkness.
Absolutely. And that serves just as a reminder of during Christmas, we're going to be singing Christmas songs, or they're really Advent songs, because a lot of them are going to be hearkening to come, Lord Jesus, come be with us. And I would just encourage those of you listening that as we sing those songs this season, don't think of it as a looking back only, but it's also a looking forward. So we're saying that you did come in the past. We're looking forward for your coming again.
Amen. And I think right now, with all that's happening in the world, I mean, just thinking about over 300 dead in Egypt last week at a mosque, what happened just a number of weeks ago in Texas with this tragic shooting. I mean, darkness is all around us. We're experiencing so much pain. And I know for a lot of us, people listening to this podcast, people who sit in the chairs of our church or who live elsewhere, Christmas is not, it stirs up dark feelings. It reminds us of what we don't have. It reminds us of loss and the fact that our families aren't the way we want them to be, or maybe we're not where we want to be. And consequently, because our culture tends to make this season such a sentimental season, for many of us, we kind of unplug or check out. I think that what Advent's really about, Christ entering dark places to heal and restore, that's an invitation for us to participate, even if we find ourselves struggling with depression during this season. And I know for me, that's an invitation to not let the darkness in my own heart, not let the disappointments that I face or the discouragements that I face keep me from looking into that bright sadness. And I think that's a way that we redeem time, because it's not just time we're redeeming. It's a redemption of our own life experience, that God enters into things as they are, and he brings his light, and that's actually the whole story of Jesus is coming in the first place.
So good. So good. Our culture, and we as individuals, I know I do, tend to want to, when we see that darkness or that brokenness, to just escape it. So it's natural then to want to feel that happy, sentimental feelings, because we don't know what to do with the feelings of darkness, of heaviness and hopelessness. So yeah, what a great season to invite us to be present in the midst of that, knowing that it's not fatalism that we're entering into, but we're entering into the sadness, knowing that the bright hope of Christ can enter it right there with us.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we pray that your Advent season will be one that you are marking with intentionality. There's several different ways you can do that. If you Google Advent Christmas wreaths and things like that, you'll find tons of ideas for your home. You'll find all kinds of ways that you can figure out how to engage it with your spouses, your children, with your friends. Here at Trinity, we just encourage you to do it with intentionality, as we do with all the seasons of the year. A couple of the ways that you can do that corporately here is we just encourage you to participate too with our Advent morning prayer services that are happening. They're at 7 a.m. Each Wednesday during the season of Advent, both on the east and west sides of town. And we recognize that's not the optimal time. Some of you, that prices you out. But for those of you who are able to make it, we'd encourage you to come to these services and mark time. Also, coming to the Christmas Eve services. You can find the details of those on our website at atltrinity.org. We're also posting the audio recording of a one-night class called Keeping Time that our education pastor, Tripp Prince, taught. And it goes way deeper. Where Chris said we could nerd out Trip gets to nerd out a little bit on this. And so if you really want to learn a little bit more about this, we'd encourage you to listen to that class. Pick up Bobby Gross's book as well. Again, the title of that is Living the Christian Year. God bless you. We pray for God's blessing and peace to be on you and your loved ones this Advent season.